So let's turn. I want to start this lesson today. Whose report will you believe? Let's take a quick look over at Isaiah chapter 55, if you would, in verse 8. 55 and verse 8. And as we talk about, you know, this season that we're in, you know, we've moved from 2019 into 2020. This is a new decade, not just a new year, it's a new decade. And I sense and believe it's a different season. We're in a new season here, closer to the return of Christ. And this season that we're in, I believe there's a greater harvest. You know, we're seeing, you know, big meetings. We see individuals have these big crusades and meetings overseas, some here in the States. But you're going to see more multiplied meetings where people are hungry. They're searching. They're searching for things. And there's going to be more, a greater harvest of souls. I believe there's going to be a greater revelation of God's word to us. And I believe there's going to be a greater manifestation of God's glory in the earth. I do. I just believe that. So there's this time that we're living in is like no other time. You know, we look, just turn on the TV, there's gross darkness. But I believe that what happens in the darkness, the light shines brighter. And we're the light in the earth, God shining through us. So talking about, you know, when we talk about information, just look at Isaiah 55:8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we can think some pretty big thoughts, but no matter what you can imagine, no matter what you can think up or cook up, as they say, his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and his ways are higher than your ways. Or he says, neither are your ways my ways. Thank God. And he goes on, he said, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." And he concludes with that thought and says in verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish," or you could say produce, "that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So God's word will produce. That's the point we're trying to make here. Now, if you back up to chapter 53 in Isaiah, in verse 1, he said, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom of the to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" So there's, at some point in your life, you're going to have to believe one thing or the other. In other words, in life, you're going to be faced with something that happens. We all have, you know, every day we get confronted with information or situations, sources of information that come to do what? Help us. Some people need counseling in some areas. Some people need help in, you know, their marriages. Some people need help in their health. They go to a doctor. Some people need financial help. You know, they may get some help somewhere. But all of that information, I'm not discounting it, but you're going to have to believe. It doesn't mean that we ignore those resources of help. But, you know, the scripture in Luke 18 said, "What is impossible for man is possible with God." So some things, you may get some information where they say, you know what, we can't help you. There's nothing we can do. Well, you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to believe his report. And it says, "To whom you do, the arm of the Lord is revealed." God responds to faith. So we're going to have to decide whose report we're going to believe. And even if the doctor or someone says, you know, these are the conditions, this is the situation, it doesn't mean you're stuck with that. God can work supernaturally in you through faith to correct a condition. And that's the point we're trying to make, is that no matter what happens, these bodies have been impacted or affected by sin that came into this earth. And so this body is getting older, it's decaying, but thank God, God's word and his spirit in me quickens. It gives life, as it says, to this mortal body. So no matter what's decaying, you know, what's getting older, or you could say, you know, I was out there working in the gym and boy, I feel like I'm 90. Well, thank God. I've got the power of God in me, and God can work in me to invigorate me, to strengthen me so that I can run my race, right? Right? So people all the time, they believe more what they see. What did Paul say? He said, the things that we see, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, he said, the things we see in this natural realm are temporal, are temporary, but the things we don't see are eternal. So the things that we're confronted with, you know, if you live long enough, stuff happens, but does it last forever? No. So that means it's temporal. But God's word stands firm. That's what it says in Psalm 119. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The NIV says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm. That means it doesn't change. Even God said that in Malachi. He said it over in James. He said that he changes not. Titus says it also. He said, I lie not. I change not. He doesn't change. So if Jesus doesn't change, if God doesn't change, then his word doesn't change. So if he says something in his word, we have to believe it. That's why I like it when we say, God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. I believe it. And that settles it. He said it, so I'm going to believe it. That's why we believe if God gives you a direction in life, if he sends you down a path, you stick with it. Don't get off it. You know, just because you see something or don't see something doesn't mean God didn't answer your prayers. That's the whole point. You know, a lot of times people let go of their faith in a certain area and they unhook. And they're believing God for something, and they don't see it just exactly the way they think it should come to pass, when it should come to pass, how it should come to pass, and they let go of their faith thinking it's not working. So far from the truth. Your faith, if it's it is working. And stop putting time frames on God. Stop putting conditions and things and saying, well, it didn't work. How do you know it's not working? Keep your faith active. Keep your words active. Keep your thoughts right. Say, God is working. I believe God. God's not a liar. He's told me such and so, and it's coming to pass. And you need to just be, you know, downright ornery about it, as they say. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And it's coming to pass. So one of the things, when we talk about believing reports, let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 quickly. Just look at, you know, these are real life situations, because the word of God is full. You know, if you take the time to look, when we talk about whose report are you going to believe, the Bible is full. The word of God is full of situations where individuals had to decide who they were going to believe. They had to make a choice. And so sometimes we look past these things, But when we talk about believing a report, look at Abraham. Abraham had to believe something. Here it is, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says, as it is written, I'm reading from the King James, I have made thee. This is God speaking now, right? So now God's saying something to him, and he said, here, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, it is interesting. He's past age of having children, and he don't have any. And yet God's decreeing, I've made you a father of many nations. What nations? I don't even have children. So you're going to have to believe something right about now, right? You don't have two nickels to rub together. And he said, your bank accounts are full. You better believe God. And he said here, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and does what? Calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's God. And then, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at Abraham's response, verse 19 and 20. He said, and being what? Not weak in faith, he did what? He considered not his own body, now dead. So his body's dead. Meaning dead, meaning what? It's past age. It's old. It's past age to bear children. So he said he didn't even consider it. And when he was about it, he was about 100 years old. So now he's 100 years old and God's calling him the father of many nations. You could say, yeah, right. Right? And he said, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not. He didn't budge. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief, but was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. He said, thank you. I believe it. Right? Yes. And then it goes on, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And it goes on, it said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So we can see here, there were two reports here. There's a natural report that says he's almost 100. His body's dead, and also Sarah. But God's calling him the father of many nations. So now we got two reports, and somebody now, meaning Abraham's going to have to believe something. He's going to have to believe. And what did he do? He chose to believe the report of the Lord, didn't he? Abraham had to disregard the report, that natural report, and believe the report of God, which said that he was made the father of many nations. And you can read about that in Genesis 15. And God appeared to, as it said, God appeared to Abram. And he began to speak and talk to him, because Abram at that time said, I don't have any heir. You know, he had, because he had taken his servant in, and his at the bequest of his wife, and brought forth a child, right? Ishmael. He thought Ishmael was going to be his heir, and God said, no, you're going to bear a child. So you can see all of that. He had to believe something, right? So you can see here that Paul writes in the New Testament that all of these, in 1 Corinthians 10, he said these things happened to them, meaning these things in the Old Testament happened for our, what, examples. So we didn't make this, so we don't make the same mistakes. Now, let's go over to the book of Numbers. Here's another bad, you know, when you talk about reports here. Look at the Israelites when God said, go in and take the Canaan land, go in and take the promised land. Look at Numbers 13. These are all great stories, because Man, I mean, you can see all, you can look at all of them. You can look at, I mean, we don't have time today, but you can look at Moses. You can look at Noah. You can look at all of them. They all had to believe something in the face of contrary circumstances. But let's take a look at here. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 25. And it talks about, it says here, after exploring the land, of course, we're talking about Moses. They selected 12 spies, each from each tribe, one from each tribe. And they went into the land to do what? To explore it. I think that's where, that's probably the first mistake. They went in to explore the land. God said, go in and take the land. He never told them, go in and explore it. He told them, go in and take it. So here it says, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. See, this is Caleb. He said, we can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him, so he went in, he was part of this group. Caleb and Joshua were. He said, we can certainly, and so he said, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Verse 32, so they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. So they got up and started speaking a bad report, and as God called it in the King James, an evil report. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought, too. How do they know what they thought? They have no idea what they thought. So they started to speak negative, or let's say it another way, they did not embrace the word of the Lord that was given to them. God said, go into the land, I've given it to you. He didn't say, I'll just go in and hope you make it. He said, I've given the land to you. So if he gave them the land, don't you think they would have been smart enough to say, God's with us. He brought us through the Red Sea. He's delivered us. He opened the Red Sea. They had so many examples of God delivering them. What did he do? It says during the day he led them with a pillar of smoke and pillar of fire. So you would think with those signs and those manifestations, he fed them in the wilderness with quail and with manna, all of these things. And you would think, as they say, the light bulb would have gone on when God said, go in, I've given you the land, that he would have provided for them. He would have protected them, empowered them. So they brought up what? An evil report. They didn't believe him. And so what does the scripture say? It says, to whom of the arm of the Lord is revealed? He said, whose report will you believe? To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? So it wasn't revealed to them because they didn't believe him. No faith. And so these are just things that we need to keep in mind. Caleb, he tried to still the people and shut it down, right? Think about this, you know, whatever our victories are, and this is always so important, you know, your victories or your defeats, it's never just about you. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, praise God, I got a victory. Yeah, but I think about that man that I ministered the word to, that I worked with. Yeah, he ultimately, faith came from the word of God, and he ended up getting healed and delivered. But it affected his whole family because his son, one of his sons, went on to go to Rhema Bible Training College. He became a pastor. And so now he's affected generations of people. So it's never just about us. And so when you think about when God said, go in and take the land, God, I've given it to you, that affects generations. Generations of people, right? And what ended up happening? Because they disobeyed God, what did they do? They wandered around in the desert, didn't they? Because they refused to obey. They just ignored that, right? So it just is always something for us to keep in mind that the victories that we're obtaining affect our families, it affects our children, it affects people that we come in contact with, it affects generations. And so this is one of the things that we need to keep in mind, that God is interested in people. He wants to reach people and minister to people. Now let's turn over to Mark chapter 5. This here is the account when we talk about believing a report. Whose report will you believe? This is the woman with the issue of blood that the scripture said she had an issue of blood or a flow of blood for 12 years. And it said here, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. But starting in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Some things haven't changed. But it says in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, in some translations it says, she kept saying, that's faith, she kept saying, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, meaning pressing in, touching you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith hath made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So now, just so you understand the society that she lived in, She lived under the law, under the Jewish law, where if she was out unclean because she had a blood flow, they considered that to be unclean. She had to be cleansed or go through this period of cleansing to be out in public. So for her to even be out in public was against their law. She could have been dealt harshly with, even stoned to death. So for her to make a choice to get up and go out into that setting was gutsy. She had to be absolutely convinced that if she touched Jesus, she heard something. It says when she heard about Jesus, so the implication here is she didn't actually hear it from him directly, but she heard people talking about this man that heals people, that anybody who comes will be healed. She said, well, I'm getting that. I'm going. And if everything you're saying is so, I'm going to just touch his garments and I'll be healed. Now think about that. She must have heard that people touched him, because for her to say, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. So she must have heard a report that people that touched him were healed. So she went convinced that, and of course, the reports, if we read through the scriptures, it's documented that everyone that was brought to Jesus was healed. All were healed. So she probably said, if everybody got healed, I'm going. I'm going to touch him and I'm going to be healed. She spent all her money and nothing better. And so you just think about that. She had to believe a report that she heard. She's gotten this issue for 12 years, nothing better, spent all her money. And she heard something that did what? Moved her to action. That's faith. Faith, when you have the faith of God, it will move you to do something. You won't just sit there. You say, I'm doing that. And we do that in the natural. You're convinced of something, you get up and do it. And faith, the God kind of faith, believes God for things that he promises, right? Isn't that the truth? So let's take another look here. Let's look at a few more here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse 7. This is Noah. And then verse 8, Abraham. Again, let's take a quick look at these. Because Hebrews chapter 11 is loaded, that whole chapter is a record of individuals who believed God, right? But let's look at verse 7. It says, by what? By faith, Noah, being warned of God, right? And the New King James, it says, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So now here, he's divinely warned of God. And if you go back and look at history, he was building that ark, they say, for about 300 to 400 years. So now, and I believe the scripture in the New Testament said he was a preacher of righteousness, Noah was. So now he's out preaching righteousness, and I'm sure they're going, crazy man, what are you building that boat for? And it wasn't small. So this ship that was being built out, they'd never seen rain. So now here, they're looking at him like he's nuts, right? There's things that we do in life where people say, what are you doing that for? You're nuts. No, I'm not nuts. I heard God and I believe God. And so I think those are the kind of things where here we can see that God looked at that in a precious way, right? He found someone who would listen to him, obey him, and save the seed, because the seed came down through his lineage, right? He was the father. Well, we could see here, Noah preserved this seed. So now here, in the next verse, we're talking about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And by faith, it goes on, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So here, God divinely directs Abraham to leave his country and do what? Go to a place that he didn't know anything about. He had to believe God. He had to believe something he heard from God, and he had to believe his report, didn't he? Same thing with us. We're going to have to believe things. Same thing with Sarah. You know, you can look about Sarah in verse 11. Same chapter. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she did what? She judged him faithful who had promised. So she believed God and she received strength to conceive a child, even though she was past age. So those are the kind of things that we have to consider. Just turn over. I'll just close with this. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and verses 20 through 20. Let me read this. This is talking about God's healing medicine, but it's also talking about what we think and what we think about. Let me read this from the Good News Translation. It's a modern translation. It says in verse 20 through 23, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Never let them get away from you. Remember them and keep them in your heart. They will give life and health to anyone who understands them. Now listen to verse 23. Because this is where we live. Verse 23 in the Good News Translation, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So a lot of times, in the King James, it says, guard your heart, or it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This word issues, if you look this word up in a concordance, it actually means extremities or boundaries. So what comes out of your heart, in the Good News Translation, it says your life is shaped by your thoughts, saying the same thing, that your thinking shapes your life. It sets boundaries. If you think you can't do it, you won't do it. But you see people who are in the most difficult situations that they just say, I'm not going to be stuck by this. We're going to do this. And they just, you know, people just say, well, we're just going to do it. How are you going to do it? I don't know. Well, we're going to do it. And so I think a lot of times people, you know, when the scripture says guard your heart, it well means that. Be careful what you think on, because your thinking can either put you over or destroy you. And so when you believe things, yeah, you may get bad reports in life. Things may be negative, but whose report are you going to believe? I believe God can do the impossible in my life. Things that are not possible for me to do or handle, with God, it is possible. And that's my thinking. That has to be my thinking. God responds to me reaching out to him. He responds to faith, the God kind of faith. And so for us who are Christians, we've got to watch our heart, watch our words, watch what we think about, watch what we put down in our heart, because it can impact the where we go and what we do. It absolutely can. You know, let me just close with this. I'll just share this because I'll share a little bit today, and then I'll pick up next week. But when we talk about what you think about, your mind, I was here a couple of weeks ago, and Deacon Susie said something that I had to go home, I had to think about a little bit, because it was, I went, I'd never heard anybody just say it that way. We were here on a Bible study, and she said something, we were talking about healing and divine healing of Friday night, a couple Fridays ago, and she said this word, your core belief, and it just made me stop. I went, I hadn't heard it. It just impacted me. It just hit me, and I said, your core beliefs. And she expressed herself along that line, but it made me sit down and think about that. And I went home, and I just got busy, you know. Of course, I got home late, but the next day on Saturday, I just was digging around, because I just said, that just stuck with me. And so just listen to this. This is a book. And I just went out, I started to just poke around on, you know, and just look for information, right? But when we talk about what you think about, your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, we've got the Word of God. We have the answer. And now, here you have professionals that spend their life researching this. We don't need to research it. We've got God's word on it that said, if you keep my word in your heart and meditate on it day and night, you'll make your way, and you observe to do it, Joshua 1:8, you'll make your way successful. I don't need to spend 20 years researching it. It's the word of God. But just listen to this. It's they're validating. Well, I shouldn't say validating. They're in essence, the word of God is supporting what they're saying. So now listen to this. This is Bill Gates wrote an article, and of course he's got his own philanthropy outreaches and so forth, and he's big in the educational field. Sows a lot of money into education, right? So he wrote something about this particular book. Because he said the name of the book was called Mindset, M-I-N-D-S-E-T, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. I thought, okay. So he felt, Bill Gates felt, this book would be a great help for the teachers. And this book, he said, the rest of the title is How We Can Learn to Fulfill Our Potential in Parenting, Business, School, and Relationships. Okay? So that's one. Bill Gates writes a big article about this. Now here's another op-ed by this other person. His article is called The Mindset Advantage: How Your Mental Frame affects your behavior and performance. These are just worldly people writing articles. And so this is what he writes, this person. He writes that our mindsets, thoughts, beliefs, and expectations are the lenses through which you perceive the world. I said, well, that's true. You know, you hear that old saying, you know, you can either see the glass half full or half empty. So how you perceive the world, your lenses or your view, your mindset is the lens how you view the world, right? You can see, you can either see, you know, I'm an overcomer or I'm defeated, right? I can make it, I'll do this or I'll never have it, right? That's your view. And he goes on and he said, the mindsets people adopt have everything to do with their judgment of anything, which is true. He said, and he continues, listen to this. He said, when you are constantly hearing and repeating stories about the way things are, the narrative gets daily reinforcement. Gee, I confess $80,000 a week. That's what gets daily reinforcement, not I ain't got no money, I'm so tired, I'm so sick, I'm so defeated. Well, if you wanna repeat that, it gets daily reinforcement, and the lens of how you view life will be just that, defeat. This is the word of God. And then he goes on, he said, by using your personal power of responsibility and choice, you can change your mindset and improve how you respond to every situation in life and work. These are just professionals. Now, this lady who's the author of this book, The Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, her name is Dr. Carol S. Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. But listen to what she wrote. I don't need 20 years. She wrote this. For 20 years, my research has shown that the view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. Well, she's just confirming what we already know in the Bible. If you just get the Word of God and keep feeding on the Word of God, it'll change your view. What does Romans 12:2 say? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You don't need 20 years to do that. You just need to embrace the Word of God and feed upon it, right? I'm not knocking what they're doing. Because obviously they're doing some good things and they're helping people. And they're providing information that's positive, right? But the Word of God was first. But God was first. Yeah. He don't need the world to confirm him. God is God, right? Right? Listen to this. I'll give you one more. This is this op-ed this guy's writing about. Different individuals. Mahatma Gandhi. Now, Mahatma Gandhi was an Indian lawyer that at that time was all part of the whole movement to bring democracy and freedom into India. But listen to this. This is what he observed. Mahatma Gandhi, he observed this. It's documented, right? Listen to this. He once observed, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. And your values become your destiny. And I thought, it's all wonderful, but we've got his report to believe. And that's the point, that we don't have to be in the dark. We don't have to be behind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my view of life needs to be his view. What does it say? I have the mind of Christ. And if I have his mind and his heart, then I can view things that are not possible for me to fix or change. He can work in it. He can work on it. He can act in it, in the middle of it, right? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that your word is settled in heaven. And as we meditate upon it, as we feed upon it, we thank you, Father, that we will overcome every obstacle that we're confronted with. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Father, we are overcomers in Christ. And we thank you that the devil's power, his hold, his grip upon our lives has been broken. And we thank you, Father, that it's more noise than bite. We thank you, Father, that we have the name of Jesus. And your word says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And we thank you from that place of authority. As it says in Romans, we can rule and reign in life through Christ Jesus. And we thank you for this, Father. We're so grateful for your love for us, for your protection, for your healing and your provisions. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.